If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Did you see the reflection of the tree in the puddle in the end? It had risen. It had risen. This Sunday is like no other Sunday that we celebrate as a Christian. This week, I've said it time and time again, this week has been a very kind of a heavy week. Is thinking about all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through some 2,000 years ago. But today's the day that we celebrate the greatest triumph, the greatest victory that has ever, ever taken place. And it wasn't just that Jesus rose from the dead and he won and he got to live again. No, no, no. What that means is that because he did that, you and I don't have to fear death. Man, I could get fired up and preach about that. Matthew 28, I want to read two verses to you this morning. After the death, the crucifixion, and the burial of Jesus Christ, early on the third day, the women went to the grave to anoint the body, take care of it, to do what they couldn't do the day before because it was a Sabbath day. They couldn't go and tend to any of this because of the law did not permit it. So the women, they got there, the Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother, they got there. In verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. He has risen, just as he said." That's the title of my message today, "Just as he said." Why do you believe something that someone tells you? Why do you believe what someone says? What makes you believe that what a person says to you is true? Surely you know someone that you don't trust. Surely you know someone that if they say something, you have to go check it out. Double check, right? But there are somebody in your life, I hope and pray there's somebody in your life that when they say something, you believe it. What is it that makes you believe those things? Jesus claims that his words will never fail. He claims that he speaks the truth, that those truths will hold for all time. Do you believe him? Why should you believe him? This is perhaps the most important question you may ever have to answer in your life. Are the words that Jesus speaks true? Are they true when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me"? Are they true? Do you believe them? The women, when they got to the tomb, they should not be surprised to find an empty tomb. You know why? Because Jesus told them. Told them several times that he would die, but on the third day he would rise again. The angel was sitting there and had this happen in our day and time, he might have used some different language. He might have said something like, "Hello, third day, you know, remember, hello, LOL." OMG, oh my goodness. Third day, hello, don't you recall? Don't you remember what he told you? The third day. Why are you surprised to not find him here? He's risen, just like he told you he would. Just like he said. Just like he said. Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection many times throughout the Gospels. Why are Jesus' predictions of his death and resurrection important? Why is it important that we believe those things? Because it shows that Jesus keeps his promises. It shows us that what Jesus says is true. Now, if he can keep his promises about, hello, I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise from the dead. If he can keep that promise, can't he keep promises in your life? Can't he keep what he says to you in your quiet spirit? Won't he keep those too? Can't that also be true? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus also makes promises that are yet future for us. Just as he promised to die and to rise from the dead, he made another promise. You know what that promise is? He said, I'm coming back. Hey, you can clap for that one. That's good. That's the best news of the day. He's coming back. He's coming back. He keeps his promises. This is our Christ. Dead, just as he said. And he arose, just as he said. You can rest assured that he's coming, just as he said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not recognize it. The light shines through the darkness, but the darkness didn't even notice. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Even in his own land and among his own people, he wasn't wanted. But to those who believed him, to those who believed in his name, to those who believed he was as he claimed and would do as he said, he gave the right to become children of God. And we have seen his glory, the glory that a one and only Son can receive from his Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. And having become human, he stayed human. He humbled himself. He didn't accept any special privileges. He lived a selfless, obedient life, to die a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, crucifixion. But it was our sin that did that to him. He was bruised and wounded for everything that we've done wrong. He was wounded for our transgressions, pierced for our iniquities. He did all this just so we could be whole. And God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord of all. This is the resurrection, that the Son came and gave his life, that he extended an invitation to know the God of all creation, that he offered us love when we knew no peace, that he offered us relationship when all we knew how to do was to keep and break a bunch of rules. Oh, this is the resurrection, that in his death we have come to know life, and that we can now freely offer our life back to him. This is the resurrection. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. What I mean by that, it means that you've placed your life into the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ. You've trusted him for your eternal salvation. If that's you, trust him. Trust him. Depend on him. Lean on him. Take risks for him. Because the one who rose from the dead, the sovereign God of the universe, the one to whom all power and authority has been given. He's the one who has promised to never leave you and never, ever forsake you. He turns evil into good. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. He has engraved your name on the palm of his hands. And he will know you and watch over you all the days of your life. Take him. Claim him. Mark's account of the resurrection tells us that the angel told the women to go to the disciples and Peter. This is important. I just want to, real quick, in Mark, if you want to read it, it's in Mark 16, verse 7. The angel tells them there, he tells the women, go tell the disciples and Peter. I thought Peter was one of the disciples. Right? Wasn't he one of the disciples? Why didn't the angel just say, go tell all the disciples? Why did the angel say, go tell the disciples and Peter? Why did he say that? What had Peter done? Oh. Was there a doubt or a question in God's mind if Peter was still a disciple? No. Do you think there might have been a doubt or a question in Peter's mind if he was still a disciple? Yes. Peter had betrayed the risen Lord. He betrayed Jesus Christ, the Lord of all creation. He said, I don't know this man. Three times he denied even knowing him. He probably felt that he was no longer worthy to be called one of his. And God wanted Peter to know that he still loved him. He wanted Peter to know that he still had a plan for him. Let me tell you something. God loves you too. And if you have denied Jesus Christ in your life, if you have failed him, and if you feel like you're not worthy to be called a Christian, he still loves you. He said, tell the disciples and Peter. Tell the congregation and fill in your name in the blank. He's risen. He's alive. Just as he said. You can believe it. You can trust it. It's true. This God that loves you is trustworthy. You can trust him. You can believe him. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. I have to warn you. If you're not a Christian, if you have never publicly confessed Jesus as Lord of your life, and if you've never asked him to save you from your sins, and have never believed that God raised him from the dead, just like Scripture tells us, if you've not received him, when he does come back, when he does fulfill that promise of coming back, or when you die, whichever comes first, both are going to happen unless he comes back first. Because I tell you, I got plans. If Jesus comes back before I die, I'm never dying. But should he tarry his coming, and this old body wear out, your heart quit thumping, and they lay me in the grave, that's the worst it ever gets. And it only gets better after that. But for you, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, at that point, there's no longer any time. There's no longer any hope for you. Oh, my heart breaks to think that there might be someone that does not have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. I told the folks the other day that you may have heard that all roads lead to heaven. All roads lead to God. All paths lead to God. And we as Christians, we say, oh, well, that's not true. But, however, if you think about it, I guess all paths really do lead to God. The only problem is when you get there, you have to answer a question. What did you do with Jesus? And at that point, you can't make up your mind at that point. You have already had to have done something with Jesus Christ. The same one who said, "Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He also said, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Can you believe his words? Are they true? I believe them. A lot of times we love to believe the good things and not believe the bad. Right? I mean, we like it when somebody says you're good looking. We don't like it when somebody says you're fat. Right? Come on. Some of you don't have that problem. You decide which part I was talking about. But we like to believe the good, but not the bad, right? Well, you can't do that. If you're going to take the good, you also have to take the bad. The good thing is that if you take the good, there is no bad. Take that, girl. It'll come to you on the way home. Just let it roll around in there. It'll come to you. If you take the good, there is no bad. If you don't take the good, it's all bad. Whosoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And that name is Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Let it not pass you by without confessing the name of Jesus as Savior. He died just as he said. He rose just as he said, and he's coming back just as he said. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. That's not something you want to gamble with. That's not something you want to bet on happening or not happening. The Bible also says that the Spirit is the one that draws unto salvation. I can't convince you to get saved. I can't convince you to turn your life around. I can't convince you to follow Christ. I can't convince you to come back to Christ and give your life to Him fresh and anew again. I can't do that. The Spirit does that. But my encouragement to you is, if the Spirit is telling you something, you need to follow up on it. You need to follow up on that. That's not my job. I wouldn't be a very good Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? My wife agrees. Here in a moment, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, communion. Paul gives some instructions about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Paul says, when you take the Lord's Supper, it's a pretty serious deal. You'll play around with this. And here's some instructions. He said, you better examine yourself. Get your heart right before you partake of the Lord's Supper. And so, this morning we're going to have just a moment that I want to provide for you. If part of what we read earlier about Jesus' words being true, you can trust Him. That if He said He was going to die and it came true, He said He was going to rise again and it came true, and He says, "I'm coming back," you can bet on that, it's going to be true. And if you've not trusted Him, today is the day. Otherwise, if you need to get your heart right with Him before you partake of the Lord's cup, you need to do that. It's a serious thing. Paul instructs it. But it wasn't Paul's idea. Paul wrote it. But the Spirit of God told Paul to write it and said, "You tell people this is a serious thing. Before you partake of the Lord's Supper, you get yourself right." So we're going to have a moment to do that. I'm going to stand down front. If I can be there for you, pray with you or do whatever you need. I'll be there. This altar is open. If you need to come and kneel just between you and God and get yourself right and square your heart with the Father, then you need to do that. And as soon as we've had some time and time has passed, then we'll move on to the part of communion. But I want to give you this time. This is your time to respond. Remember, if the Spirit is telling you something, He's not just spinning His wheels. He's not saying it for nothing. If He's prodding you, if He's prompting your heart, oh, my friend, respond. The Bible also says, the Lord says, I will not contend with man forever. If He's calling you today and you put Him off, oh, my friend, what if He doesn't call you again? Let's stand and you respond as the Lord leads.